Remembering that relaxation supports awareness. And continuing to recognize awareness. Are you aware? What is obvious? Settling back and receiving sensations from the field of body, receiving sounds from the field of hearing. Emotions, moods, or thoughts from the field of the mind. This receiving experience is what our organism, our system is designed to do. We don't have to make it happen. And yet it can take a little bit of attending to recognize that it's happening, recognizing that our senses are receiving information from the world, from our bodies and minds. Are you aware? What is obvious? If you don't know what's obvious, that happens sometimes. Just connect with being aware. Being available for our system to show us what's obvious when it's ready. And if that is that place of just being available is not natural or easy for you to tap into at this point, and just picking some obvious experience, sound, hearing, or body sensation, it's easy to connect to for now. Could be the breath. But remembering that We're not aiming to stay with one experience or hold on to one experience. And so you're welcome to stay with or to be with an experience, to get yourself started, but then to begin to recognize again when the attention shifts to something else, be aware of that and attend to that then. So maybe you start by attending to your body sensations, and then a sound comes. The attention shifts to hearing. Attend to hearing. When the sound ends, maybe there's a breath and you can attend to that. Maybe then the attention is drawn to another body sensation. Be with that. This sense of following, perhaps, sometimes this attention can feel like it's flowing from one experience to another. Sometimes it can feel more like it pops from one experience to another. These are just different ways the attention can shift. Just knowing, being aware how that is for you. Are you aware? There's no need to find any special meditative state of mind, what we think of as meditative state of mind. If you are aware, whatever that experience is, that is the meditation. There's no need to attend to any particular experience. And yet it can be helpful to get familiar with the different kinds of experiences that arise in awareness. Because some of them are certain times, conditions. We can get caught by various experiences. And so learning about them, learning how to be aware of them is a part of our exploration. One experience that we often become aware of but have a conflicted relationship with is thinking. And this conflicted relationship is probably connected to the fact that thoughts are often associated with the wandering mind, with loss of mindfulness. The wandering mind is the absence of mindfulness, and thoughts are often connected to that, The thoughts themselves are not the issue. Thoughts are simply a natural process in the mind. The eye sees, the ear hears, the mind thinks, the mind feels emotion. All of these are experiences that can just be known. Yet we can be aware of them with mindfulness. Thoughts are a process that can lead away from mindfulness and perhaps habitually do lead us away from mindfulness. But they don't have to. We can be aware that a thought is happening. Thinking is happening. In our formal practice, we can explore thinking more as a process rather than being interested in the content of the thoughts. We can be curious about how thinking is happening and that thinking is happening. Simple awareness. Thinking is happening. In formal practice, we can explore letting go of the content or losing the attachment to the content in favor of just being aware that thinking is happening. And one way to explore this process, there's several ways. Well, just go through several of them. We could notice how thinking is happening. By that I mean, are they appearing as images in the mind? As words, perhaps, as if we're speaking to ourselves or somebody else is speaking to us? Might be a combination of images with sound, like a movie. Can sometimes be a felt sense in the body, as if we were doing something. So this is more recognizing the process of thinking. We can also be aware less around the content, but more interested in how that content affects us. So aware that there's thinking happening. How does that thinking affect us in the moment? A remembering an experience from the past as those memories are formed. Often there is an emotional resonance connected with the memory. Thinking arises. It often forms, shapes a response, both in the mind and in the body. And so we can, being aware that thinking is happening, be curious about how that thinking affects us in the moment. Sometimes in formal practice, thinking can become quite strong. We get compelled or pulled to thinking. Or it can be helpful to recognize perhaps the pattern of thinking, planning, remembering. Or if a strong emotion is present, let go of the thought entirely and just feel that effect. Perhaps remembering a thought about some strong experience that happened a few days ago. That experience will be shaped now in the body and mind. And see if you can set aside the thinking entirely and just feel those ripples of that thought. Just connect with the emotional content, the emotional tone. Developing the capacity to be aware of thinking while it is happening can be a slow process because we have such a habit of going into the content, living in that world, and losing mindfulness. And so short explorations can be helpful at first, maybe just as you notice thinking, just the simple thinking is happening, just for a few moments. And then setting aside the thinking and coming to something obvious, letting yourself connect with something obvious for a few moments. See if you can step back from the thoughts. And then again, connect with, are you aware? Is there awareness? And what is obvious? Sounds, body sensations. Emotions. And thoughts. All can be known. Are you aware? What is obvious? Receiving. Receiving from all the fields of experience. And aware of the shift of attention. And how that shift feels. Flowing from one experience to the next. Flowing for a while and then jumping to some other experience. Kind of a sudden shift. How is your experience unfolding? Can you be out of the driver's seat and just available to watch, to be with your organism, your system, as it lives? And from time to time, checking in. How am I in relationship to what is happening? Wanting something else to be happening, wanting something to stop happening. Having an agenda or a belief. About the experience. Or perhaps it's okay. So in these morning sessions, I'll be offering some suggestions or some explorations about things that we might notice in our practice. It's not so much that I'm saying this is what you should be attending to today. It's just these are experiences, thoughts are experiences that can arise both in our formal practice and our daily life practice. And we can be aware of them. And so it's more of a description of working with something as it arises, as opposed to turning and attending to something. Some of these mornings I'll talk about particular kinds of experiences, like thinking, like emotions, for instance, that might arise. And other times I'll explore more on the side of the awareness, how awareness feels. So there'll be a mixture of explorations in these mornings. I'd also like right now to reflect a little bit on thinking. The reason I brought thinking in today is because in the form that we're practicing, particularly this week, in more of a daily life context or more of a living environment, you know, the thoughts are going to be a big piece of what's going on. And as always, and I want to just point to right now a little bit of working with thoughts in daily life, in our everyday activities, as a slightly different practice, perhaps we could say, a slightly different practice than working with thoughts in our formal meditation. In the formal meditation, often we do preference, either certain formal practices, we preference when we see thinking happen to let go of it and return to some other non-verbal experience, like the breath or bodily sensation or the experience of hearing. So we actively release thinking and return to some other experience. That's one approach in practice. In this approach, often I encourage at first people to let go of the content and be curious about the process. And so that was what I was suggesting in this guided meditation, that when thinking arises, to not involve yourself so much with the details of the content. There can be a recognition perhaps of the type of thought, like planning, remembering, judging, fantasizing, but to be curious more about how thinking is happening and that thinking is happening, to be aware of that. That can, again, take the form of noticing the modality of the thought, which sense experience or which sense base is the thinking connected to, might be seeing, might be hearing, thoughts as images, thoughts as sounds or words in the mind. And so that's a way of noticing the process of thinking rather than the content. And another exploration around noticing how the content affects us. That was the other piece I offered in the guided meditation, that a thought can arise and there can be emotions or feelings that are shaped with that thought. And as that thought is going, we can be aware of how it's affecting us more than attuning to the content of the thought. We can be aware of the effect the content has on us. And that's more the place where this exploration of being aware of thoughts can enter into daily life. Because in daily life, we do need to attend to the content. And so, you know, sometimes in meditation, we develop, in formal meditation, we develop the skills about working with thoughts in terms of not relating to the content. And so when we come into our daily lives and and want to be thinking about what's going on in our lives, which we have to do. This is a part of how our organism is designed, is to use thought to help us to navigate our world. And so this is a normal part of our human system. And so if we have cultivated in our meditation practice this not attending to the content of the thought, it's going to be harder to do that in our daily lives. And so this aspect of being curious about how the thought affects us, how does the content of the thought affect us, this we can begin to explore in the midst of our daily activities. For instance, a question came up yesterday around the planning a meal for this afternoon, and the kind of delight or the kind of the pull to that, the wanting to do that. In the formal practice, noticing that we do want to do that, letting go of the content of thinking about the details of what the meal will be, but to recognize the kind of the wanting or the pull to that. That's how you might relate to it in formal practice. We can also relate to it in formal practice by being curious about how that thinking is affecting us. Not just that we want to think, but that we are thinking and that there's a delight perhaps in that. You could explore, you know, at times you could explore this in a formal practice because it's easier to explore this working with content and awareness simultaneously when there's less that we have to do. So if we're, you know, engaged in something else in our lives and we're thinking and doing things, it's harder to be aware of how it's affecting us. It is possible. It is possible. It is amazing what our awareness is capable of doing. But I'm just pointing to how it is, we have to cultivate these skills gradually in a way. It's hard to go full blown into the midst of daily life and say, yeah, I'm going to be aware of everything and how it affects me. So we can practice this in our sitting. So for instance, you might notice from time to time, you might notice a thought arises and maybe it doesn't have too much stickiness to it, so you can be aware of it. And so you might be curious, for instance, in the example around the meal, that the mind is noticing, oh, this part of the meal, you know, maybe thinking about the appetizers. You know, the mind is imagining the appetizers, imagining them laid out on the plate. You're knowing that, aware of that, and then also aware, how does it feel? Maybe there's a sense of delight in the offering it to the family and a sense of connection and love in connection with that offering. Those can be known, those can be felt. So it is a kind of, it's almost an honoring of our whole system, not just the thinking part, but you know, how we are in relationship to those thoughts and what we're doing. And this practice can become very broad in that way. The awareness can take in so much. We often think, and I think in some of the ways that we perhaps have practiced meditation, and again, in the early ways of connecting with being aware, it's easiest to be aware of one thing at a time. We can be aware of a body sensation or a thought. We can be aware of a mood or a sound, but it's like it's hard at first to be aware of a sound and simultaneously be aware of the emotion that sound evokes. If we turn to the emotion, sometimes we kind of lose touch with the sound. But it is possible to have this broader kind of awareness. Now, it may be that the awareness is actually, or the attention is actually rapidly shifting between experiences. And sometimes that can be what we see in our meditation, that the attention shifts rapidly between experiences. But there's also the felt sense. There's also the experiential, the experience of hearing the sound of a mourning dove, and the experience of delight simultaneously. Just because you have some idea that the attention is rapidly shifting between them doesn't mean that you have to discount the experience of knowing those simultaneously. And I don't even know if it's shifting rapidly. I mean, this system is pretty amazing. Maybe it can know multiple things at the same time. I don't know. Anyway, I don't think that that's so important to have that idea in the Buddhist teaching, in the suttas anyway. In the suttas, the Buddha speaks much more experientially. What is the experience? And that is what is to be known. Sometimes the experience can become very particulate, like one thing after another. Sometimes it feels very inclusive. And so this exploration around thoughts, to begin to be curious about, can you be aware of the thought and how it affects you at the same time? This is a simple way into broadening our awareness of thinking. And so we can practice with this in the formal practice, but also in daily life. Another aspect of working with thoughts is to, both in the sitting and in our daily activities, to be curious about what the attitude is. You know, what is the relationship with the thought? And it might be interesting to be curious about whether the attitude, so for instance, you might notice that thinking is happening in the sitting, and then an attitude arises of aversion. Now, it's like you notice that there's aversion with the thinking. It can be interesting to be curious about, is that aversion related to the fact of thinking, regardless of the content? Is it about the thinking itself? Or is that attitude connected to the content? So for instance, you know, a thought of a friend might arise in your mind, and there might be aversion towards the fact that that thought has arisen. That could be the attitude towards, it's like, I'm supposed to be meditating. I'm not supposed to be thinking. That attitude could arise in relationship to the fact or the experience of thinking itself. Or the thought of the friend could arise, and the content is remembering something that friend did that was painful. And maybe there's a relationship with the content in the attitude. And so it's interesting sometimes to notice. So that might be that the aversion or the frustration or the anger is arising, not in relation to the fact that the thought has arisen, but in relationship to the content. And so that's another thing that we can notice, the difference there. So in checking the attitude, it can be very useful to check the attitude around thought, partly because we do have a conflicted relationship with the fact of thinking, and also because if the attitude is connected to the content, those are attitudes that can kind of slip in the back door. And then, like, we may have a thought about the friend that has said something or done something that hurt our feelings. And so we have a little bit of hurt and a little bit of maybe a depressed feeling that comes in with that thought. If that's not known and recognized, that feeling of depression can then become an attitude that gets applied to the next thing that arises. So it's useful to notice this, these kind of attitudes that are connected to the content. Let's see. I think that's enough right now. I do have a couple of announcements. We end up with announcements in this form too. Something has been happening. We're not sure what yet, that the IRC meditation hall sometimes drops. The meditation hall leaves the meditation hall. And so that happened yesterday a couple of times, and it happened overnight. I don't know if any of you tried to log in overnight or in the later part of the evening or earlier this morning. I logged in around 6:30 and discovered this. And so I left the system running. But this may happen. We haven't quite figured out why it drops yet. So I'll check in regularly. Yan Li is going to check in regularly to see if IRC is here, if the meditation hall is here, so that there will be the container. Sometimes it seems to happen if I leave and the meditation hall leaves, the meeting ends. And so it's, you know, there's no meeting for you to join. Well, I don't know. Maybe you can join without the host starting the meeting. I don't know. Anyway, we'll have to check that out. That would be interesting. So anyway, we're working on that. And then we're having the practice meetings this morning, the first round of the practice meetings. And just to remind you to check into the retreat announcements page. On that page is the link for the Zoom room. It's a separate Zoom room that you come to for the practice meetings, so that the hall stays silent. So we'll be in a different Zoom room for the practice meeting. So check the retreat announcements page for that link. And if you have trouble finding it, contact Yan Li. So I will see some of you in the small group meeting. Oh, and that is set up. The small group meetings are set up for you to join the waiting room. So you'll go into the waiting room and then I'll let you in. That's just how those sessions are set up. So see some of you there and then the rest of you this afternoon. Enjoy your day.